Hi everybody, and welcome to the ASP.NET Monsters episode number 34. Today we're going to be talking about routing. James may or may not be with us. He's having some sound problems today. Sound problems that even the great Richard Campbell cannot solve. So you can tell that they're serious problems. So today we want to talk about routing. Routing is something that's been around since the birth of MVC, and I think that it's probably one of those things that's been inherited from older frameworks such as Rails. I don't want to say that Rails is like older, but the frameworks that predate ASP.NET MVC. So what I have here is a brand new project using RC2. Very exciting. And in here I have just left the default route in place. Yeah, so this is found in your startup.cs. Although you can, of course, extract this out if you end up with a particularly complicated routing table. And what routing does is, if you remember back in the web forms days, for those who were sufficiently old to remember such things, what you had on disk were a bunch of files that ended in .aspx. And when you went to serve those files, IIS would go out and find that file, and then it would be fed through like the worker role process, and there's a bunch of ISAPI stuff that I don't remember or understand or pretend to care about. And anyway, the long and short of it is that the file on disk would end up what was served out. There were ways to get around that. You could use like IIS rewriting rules, say you moved a folder from one place to another, or you renamed a file or something like that, and you want to preserve people's bookmarks. Back in the days when people had bookmarks, or just even the links with inside your application, then you could set up these rewrite rules to change the location that was seen. Since that time, routing has become more of a thing. So we no longer necessarily have to go to a file on disk. In fact, if you look at something like our home controller, you can see that we've got a bunch of actions in it, index about, contact and error, and none of these are actually files on disk per se. There are views associated with these, but they don't necessarily have to be views associated with them. You could easily create a new action in here that just returns some JSON or some other value, streamed a file from blob storage or something like that, that didn't actually have an associated file on disk. So routing is necessary to wire up what's found in the URL with what actually gets served or what endpoint gets called inside the application. The default route in an MVC project is this one here. So you can see that it's helpfully named default. And in here, we're using a couple of parameters. The first one here is the controller. So we're extracting whatever comes in. And the first thing that comes in, we're going to assume that it is the controller. And that if there is no controller given, we will default it to home. So this is how your just slash route works. So you come in here without anything. There's only one route, so it ends up matching this one here with these default parameters. So it'll set home, it'll set index, and that's how we get over to the home controller and the index action.
So that piece where we specify the default values, that's different now, right? Like that used to be set up as another parameter.
Yeah, you used to pass it in as like a separate thing here.
Yeah.
And it looks like you can still do that. There's a defaults object in there you can pass in. But
this is nice and clean.
This to me is way cleaner.
I like it.
That definitely seems like a better way of doing it. So if you go just to the home controller, I should reverse back there and talk about the ID. So this ID value here is an optional parameter at the end. That's what the question mark there means. So that may or may not appear. And if it doesn't appear, then MVC will not attempt, or the routing engine will not attempt to put a default value in for that. It'll just not include it. Whereas the other ones get a default value. So if you were to go to just slash home, then you would get a default value for the index, whereas the home controller would be just like the normal home controller. So those are the kind of default values that get passed in, and that's how you end up with the default route locations. But we can play around and make the routes a little bit more complicated. So we can add lots of stuff in here. And there are some reasons for doing this. Search engine optimization is one, and just coming up with friendly URLs for people is another one. So if you have a look at the Stack Overflow website, you can see that their URL contains kind of a bit of the question in the URL. So they're not actually using that, but it is nice so that people can link to it and see like, ah, that's kind of the gist of this question without even having to go there. So I'm going to add a couple of new routes to my application here. And we'll just stop this. And let's start off here by just adding this one route here. So what I've done here is that I've added a prefix in here to the route template here. So anytime that I go to something slash fish, then it'll hit this route first, so it'll match this template here. So let's go and give that a try here. Okay, so this is the home controller here, so this has hit that default route, and if I add fish in here, then we also get back to that exact same route that we were at before. So normally, if we hadn't had that route in here, going to slash fish would just get us an exception because there would be no controller that was known as fish. We can also extract values within routes, so this is a very handy thing. By default, we just have like a controller and an action set up, but if you wanted to have additional values set up here, so for instance, I would like to extract the name of a company from the route. So when people come to the site, it's kind of customized for their company, and I'm going to default that to this company here called Alpine Ski House. So let's put that in there, and let's actually go and throw a breakpoint here inside our home controller. So what I'm doing here is I'm going to extract some data from the route data, which is a collection of the values that are parsed out of the route. And this information is available just inside the controller, or you can inject it in if you're using POCO controllers. So let's go and start that up again here. We'll play with a few URLs. All right, so we've hit that breakpoint here, and what comes in here is a company. So we're getting the company name Alpine Ski House. So we've just gone to the slash route here, and because we have put in a default value here, this route here will actually no longer be hit, because it'll be picked up entirely by this route, every instance of it. So that's gone and set the default value, and we'll just continue on from there. And we should end up right back at our home controller again. There we go. But if we put in something here, so we put in, looks like I've already put Bungie in there. That's one of them here. Now we can see that that company has been globbed out as Bungie. And the controller is still going to be the same controller because we didn't put any values in for any of those. And we'll get right back to our same home controller here. So we could put in home here, and we should get the same thing that comes up, because we've just specified exactly the same value here. But let me see what else we have in here. So we have an accounts controller in here. Really sure what routes these take. Login. So there's a login route here we could try. Accounts. So I'm not really sure what controller that hit.
I think it's just account, not plural.
Oh, is it? All right.
There you go.
Okay, so let's hit the login, and it's going to have this company name set in it. So this is a good way of kind of customizing or making it look like your entire application is customized just for one customer or one company or one whatever. And that's pretty much everything I have to say about routing. Actually, that's not true. I will say this about routing. that I have seen many applications out there that have incredibly complicated routing tables. And I have seen places where people put in routes for each action and each controller, and it is a huge mess and it's hard to maintain. And generally, I would advise against that. Wherever possible, you should err on the side of always using these sorts of variables in here, these things that get globbed out, and try and make your routes as general as possible. Putting in specific routes is just going to be a lot of work for you. So try and stick with convention over configuration on this stuff.
Yeah, seeing really big routing tables, I guess, is a bit of an anti-pattern, I would say.
Yeah.
Cool. I think there's some changes to like how routes fall through. So if MVC hits a route that matches a pattern in your route table, but then it doesn't actually find a matching controller in action, in the past it would give you a 404 or whatever. At that point, it would fail.
Oh, okay.
And I think that now it continues to fall through, so it will go to the next route and still keep trying to find. So it's something people trip up on a lot, and I think the default behavior has changed there now.
Yeah, that's handy. Definitely, like, debugging these routes can be a bit irritating. There used to be a unit testing package that Phil Hack created, but I don't know what's happened to that in the new world. So that might be something we should investigate for a future episode.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, great. Well, thanks a lot for showing up, and James is the silent minority today.
William James.
So, yeah. Well, I don't think he's even on the Skype call anymore. He's given up on us. Great. So thanks, everybody, for joining us on this episode, and we'll see you all on the next one.
Bye.
Bye.